So it's very, very sad when all over the world that people join the mission of Lord Caitanya and then leave and go back out deep into the imprisoned state. Then one has to work very, very hard in trying to forget. And so often one will even take to a life even more sinful than what they previously were in, because now they have to work overtime and somehow trying to put Krishna and his activities and his devotees out of their mind. So they get absorbed in so many extracurricular things. They get absorbed in intoxications. They get absorbed in so many, many tangential things. But they can't really forget. But often they're so caught in the muck of sense gratification, they're constantly thinking, I'm going to give this up, next Janmasmi, next Ramnomi, Gopinima, my birthday, I'm going to stop this sin, I'm going to go back to the temple, I'm going to start chanting my rounds again, I'm going to go see the devotees. But then Maya hears that also. Maya says, oh, so that's your plan. Next Gopinima, you're going to leave my camp, huh? Okay. I'll nicely put some obstacles in place so that you will not escape. There are hundreds and thousands of Vaishnavas who are stuck in that way. That in their heart, they know that the Krishna conscious process is the most important thing for them to be involved in. But because of so much deviation and sometimes aparad, they began to even lose some of their previous credits, and now it becomes so difficult to be able to do that which is most healthy, that will relieve the suffering. But instead, they do things that enhances and aggregates the suffering. And so they associate with materialists, associate with karmis, they seemingly act like them, but they're realizing that they're cowards and they're cheaters because they have left the royal path of bhakti. So we should try very hard not to become like that. And try very hard how to help someone else or help raise the environment so less and less people have any reason to leave the devotional service. When so many things are there that are beneficial for the living entity, why should one want to leave? But when Maya starts presenting something and it seems more attractive, it seems more secure than what one is having, then the tendency of the living entity may say yes. And once one starts saying yes, they get pulled in more and more. So a devotee is a kuto bhaya, doubtless, fearless. Fearless because they realize that Krishna is on the case. Fearless because they realize that it's just like taking medicine. Sometimes the medicine may take a taste a little bitter, but as long as you know the effects, then you're ready to deal with that and get the benefits. Sometimes the doctor gives you medicine, he lets you know, oh, you take this like this, you're going to feel a little nauseated, you're going to get a little headache at first couple of days, but realize that that is part of the cleansing. So when it happens, as you've been informed, you're aware of it, you move through it, you get the benefits. So we first come to devotional service, we're very excited, we're very happy. Things seem very wonderful. We wonder how can anybody ever leave. We think we'll never have any serious problems. Then later we have to start working on ourselves. And so much comes out, gross and subtle. And many times we're afraid to go deeper and to keep working. So we run away. So we do not have to deal with ourselves sufficiently. Or as it gets a little difficult in different phases, we don't understand what is going on. We don't perceive it properly. Like the person taking the medicine, some difficulty to throw it away. So the cleansing process can be a little excruciating sometimes. But we keep the goal in mind. By keeping the goal in mind, we're able to keep persevering. Once we lose the goal, then what happens? We see someone who's doing very nicely, and they've lost conception or perception of the goal, and now they are looking so ridiculous. Used to look so vibrant, speak philosophy nicely, associate nicely, and now their whole life is running after money, running after sense gratification, running after some kind of distinction and adoration. So they are gradually forgetting Krishna. Gradually forgetting the contract that was made before the deity, before the spiritual master, before the assembly of devotees. It's a very, very serious contract. Because it is a contract that can be our last to take us back to Godhead. If all parties honor it. Like in any important contract, it means different players are there. And if someone does not honor it properly, it can become null and void. If we honor it, then we get the results. So, conclusion, we want to be very fixed like Bhakti Pranad. In spite of so many difficulties, he remained fixed. Not only did he remain fixed, but he did not even feel any suffering. Even though there were threats on his life and attacks and assaults. Haridas Thakur, even though he was flagged so much in the marketplaces, it was just caused him to experience ecstasy. This shows us that so much when one tries to engage in devotion, there's a lot of difficulties. We won't have as many difficulties as the very, very great souls do. But we should expect to have to also engage in our battle of Kurukshetra. These great personalities show us by their examples. I mean, even a philosopher like Socrates, who was just speaking in personal philosophy, but in those days, he was an elevated person. He was arrested, put in jail, and executed, made to drink poison, because of the devious people saw him as a threat and felt that he was polluting the minds of the youth, because he was simply trying to help them to understand something a little bit more evolved. Zoroaster, he was stabbed to death. Jesus was crucified on a cross. Muhammad, many assassination attempts, he was also poisoned. Last days of his life, he suffered from poison attempts. Body was affected by it. We see how many of the great acharyas, how their lives were threatened. Bodhisattva's life is constantly threatened. You think we had a guard for Srila Prabhupada just to stand by the window, stand by the door? We also had guards as Prabhupada would travel. Because we understood that these great personalities, they are such a threat to material nature. And they are a huge threat to the demon class. This is the position of the spiritualist. They are declaring boldly, Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam. That yes, it belongs to Krishna. It's come from Krishna to go back and be given. That those who do not honor that, they're criminals. And of course, their karma will come on them. So there is no serious suffering or forgetfulness when we're always remembering hearing about the pastimes of the Lord. And even when there are things that would seemingly cause the suffering, It just turns into realization, understanding. So let us be like, not like the demons who saw Krishna in the wrestling match. They just saw him as cruel death. But as the devotee sees the Lord in his wonderful manifestations, is eager to hear about, to associate with, and one is not so much affected by the Ariadne, Ari David, and Ari Bhakti. That is the position of transcendental, the transcendental experience. It is there, but the divinity does not accept it. Each time we get into Maya, we're saying, oh, you're offering this, offering that? Yes, I'll try it. So an offering is given. We can say, no, I don't want it, I have something better. No, I know the ultimate effects of that. No, I understand that once I plug into such, I know the results. No way. Or we can say, well, I think I'll try. I think I'll try a little. I think this time I can try it and not get any disturbance later. So when we're in Maya, we have used or misused our free will, and we said, yes, I'll try it. Yes, I'll do it. Yes, I'll connect with this. Then that results. So this amnesia, we have done it many times in this lifetime, many times in other lifetimes, and each time we're thinking, this time I'm going to do it, and I'm going to become happy. That is a madness. So Krishna consciousness is designed to free us from this amnesia once and for all by hearing, remembering, worshiping, serving the Lord. One begins to revitalize their wonderful, blissful, dormant consciousness. One begins to free themselves from doing the things that increases the suffering rather than eradicates the suffering. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Anyone else?
Well, I'm saying how many great saint personalities have been executed or persecuted for preaching God consciousness or higher level consciousness. Yeah, it would seem that the demons who are attacking at the time are not thinking, oh yes, I'm a demon, let's kill a second person. They actually, it seems that they actually believe they're in the right and they're doing it. Oh, this person is a threat to our institution, or you know, with their true institution. They don't, not consciously being demons, but they seem to be convinced that what they're doing is actually more sacred than not this rebel, because often a great saint personality has been seen to be rebels of some kind against the established institution.
This is the case of just sinful people, but actual demons, no, they know. They are still in Baba Masutaha. They know what is spiritual. They know what can stop, check, interfere with the spiritual transmission. And they plan and constantly arrange to assault, to attack, to interfere. But that's a rare case. Because most people are not demons. Most sinful people are not demons. They're just misguided. And they're in the modes. But just as they are very empowered spiritual persons, they're also very empowered negative entities also. Hi, this is Radha Gokulananda Ji. Any other questions? Yes. In the back. Yes. We talk about it literally and figuratively. But mainly we're talking about lotus feet in the sense of taking shelter. Taking shelter of the Lord, his devotees, by following instructions and begging for their mercy. And the best way we get the mercy is we get in line for it. We get in line by being proper, podcast devotees. It's being distributed. So we line up for it, we'll surely get it. So sometimes he refers to this as the blessings from the lotus feet of Supreme Personality of Godhead, his devotees. Yes. Other question?
Said that the red souls and the mystics, are they not actually experiencing any pain or misery even though it's happening to the body? Or is it that because they're in a totally different consciousness frame?
If Krishna doesn't want them to, it's according to the depth of their consciousness and according to Krishna's desire. Krishna wants to kill someone, no one can protect him. Krishna wants to save, no one can harm. So in some cases, these special cases, even though they were attacked, Krishna did not let them experience the pain. In Mahalila, Krishna Lord Chaitanya showed the whips on his back, how when Haridasa Kaul was being whipped, he was taking the slashes himself. So Haridasa did not actually feel the pain.
Earlier you spoke about how something we have a holding back in fear of surrendering. Does anybody explain that, where it comes from and how to overcome it?
It comes because in our normal environment we are being cheated and we cheat. Because people cheat us and we also cheat others, we have fear because we're afraid someone is going to cheat us if we submit ourselves. We have fear that if we submit, all of our desires, needs, will not be properly taken care of. Because of our general experiences, we find that is the case in most things. So we are somewhat afraid that surrendering to Krishna may not be totally what we would like. Because usually, when people see that someone commit themselves, they often do take them for granted or exploit them. So in the material world, there's this kind of hostility that goes on. Sometimes it's very obvious, sometimes it's not. But people, they say something, but then they're paranoid, they're on guard. That in few cases they speak their mind, they're very open, but usually people constantly posturing in different ways. Some environments more than others. Some environments, survival is based on such. Survival is based on you getting a leverage over someone else. Survival is based on you being careful. Somebody doesn't try to, demise you by certain things. So there's more this heavy competition. Some countries, some environments are more like that, but like in Japan, there's so much competition in education. Some of the third world countries, so much competition. So it creates sometimes harshness that gets carried out throughout all aspects of the culture. People so much competing, like anything. Everybody's trying to get that little spot. Many people trying for it, few spots available. So it creates kind of a harshness. Insensitivity. Like that. Any last question?
Maharaj, you mentioned to us previously about many GBC men were suffering from diseases and so forth, having to give up their exalted positions. We read about where the Pandavas, Queen Kunti, were put into great tribulations and so forth. So what is the difference between the suffering of the devotees and the suffering of non-devotees?
Well, as long as one is in a material body, there will be some deterioration of the material body. Even the Nitya Siddhas come into the material world, they also give up their bodies at some point. And often their bodies are, diseased as well. But even though that is there, for them, it doesn't stop their preaching. It doesn't put them in a platform of duality. But even though the body, everyone's body is going to deteriorate, our duty is recognizing that the body belongs to Krishna. So we try to give it the proper care so that we can engage in Krishna's service in the most effective way. Like when Sanatana Goswami wanted to commit suicide because of his sores leaking on Lord Chaitanya. But Chaitanya explained that it was his body. So we take care of it. It's unusual because we say don't be body conscious. You're not the body. Aham Brahmasmi. Yes, we're not. But we're using it. Because we're using it, we must take care of it nicely because it doesn't even belong to us. We must use it so that the owner will be pleased in how we're employing it, how we're using it. So we're at that age where, it's like now, many devotees are at the age where their parents are leaving the body. So constantly now, devotees are finding their grandmothers, grandfathers, their mothers, their fathers are leaving the body. And then some years more, we'll find more and more devotees leaving. The nature of the material situation. But where there's culture, then you have different generations intact, and so the elders begin to provide the wisdom, and others move into position, and things go on. When there's not sufficient culture, the elders cannot provide wisdom, they don't have it, or they're out of the picture. The youth are not satisfied because they don't have much to inherit, much to experience for protection. Because in one sense, we have borrowed the future from the youth. What we do now, that we've borrowed the future, and now we're going to see what they're going to have available. We're going to leave them bankrupt, that we have abused so much, so little is left for them. So what we do, what they're going to experience some of the fallout from, some of the reciprocation, some of the results.
Maharaj, that's the point that the devotees always they're forgetful of material misery when they're involved in knowing Krishna and everything Krishna. In order to do that, would some kind of memory technique be acceptable or able to work on?
Yes, not that some mundane memory technique is going to make a huge difference. But you remember by what is priorities. Something is a serious priority, then it's very forefront in your consciousness. If it's not a serious priority, there's so many other things take precedence, or so many other things interfere or begin to obfuscate what one was thinking about or considering before. So the best memory technique is that we make sure that our spiritual activities are the most important in our life force. If they're most important, then there'll be a dominant nucleus and we'll constantly check in based on such. And we'll organize our lives based on what will be the most spiritually productive, expedient thing. So I think the last question is a little late. I have to leave this morning. Yes, sir.
At the beginning of the lecture, you mentioned that Krishna consciousness isn't based on intelligence. So, but in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that these processes of Krishna consciousness are yoga. So, how do we reconcile that?
Because material intelligence is different from spiritual knowledge and spiritual intelligence. Because we understand that real intelligence is knowing the difference between matter and spirit. Real intelligence is knowing the importance of devotional service and actively, profoundly engaging in it. Real intelligence is what? Buddha, Baba, Samavita. Those who actually know, then the real sign is how they dedicate themselves in Krishna service. So sometimes we may have to draw the distinction between what people normally call, you know, data gathering and processing, information gathering, and real intelligence. Because real intelligence brings us to a spiritual conclusion. and helps us to commit ourselves and such. So I want to thank you all for allowing me to visit. I'm just coming, of course, back from India. I didn't stay very long. This year I left right after the GBC meetings because I'm teaching a course for a while at one university. My leadership book has been accepted several universities as a textbook, and also the management book for some management coaches, people who teach or counsel others in management. So at one school I'm asked to appear as the author to discuss some points from it. And I see it as a chance to play into academia, but in a way, it's like espionage, to bring about actual knowledge instead of just information processing. There has been in the past where devotees have done such, a couple of cases, made really quality devotees from that experience. Because people take it very serious, they get graded on it, you get a salary for it, everything is set up in a very serious way. So I had to dash back to try to do this. But what I'm wanting to change is, I guess I did mention it when I gave the GBC a Tagosi. Most of you probably know by now anyway. But our new international GBC chairman is Dear Krishna Swami, and also the dual vice chairmans are Maru Sevata, who's GBC of Italy, and Gopal Krishna Goswami. And there was only one new GBC, and that was Anuttama, who was going to gradually replace Simukunda Maharaj. And there were some small changes in a few zones. I was asked to, by many of the devotees in Hare Krishna Maharaj's zone, if I would come in at the GBC. But I agreed only on one project, was in Switzerland, and the Dole, the farm in France. So I'll be coming to a little bit more because I'll be coming, well, sometimes when I go to Africa, or India, or Switzerland, I'll try to stop in for a day or two. So you may have to see me again in a couple of months if you can tolerate me. It's gone from the God of Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Sri Prabhupada ki, D.C. Vara Gokul Nanda ki, Koni Sai, Sita Lakshman Haraman ji ki.
Hare Krishna. His Holiness Sankirtan Maharaj ki.